morning, Texas. This is program number 6. This is a program note, however. I forgot to plug my microphone in, so the sound quality is not the best. What you will be listening to is you will be listening to in my office on the outside microphone. You will probably even hear my dog snoring a couple moments in this thing, some pages turning and all that. I apologize for that, but I'm going to leave it as is, and you can just listen to it as such, and beginning again tomorrow, the program sound will be a much better quality, I hope. I've always had people in my congregation remind me, plug in the microphone, turn on the video cam, whatever. They're always having to remind me for that stuff. Technology and the technical scene just isn't my ball game, but we try. So on with the program this morning. So how did you do over the weekend? I left you with a pretty big chunk of meat to chew, and the hardest thing for me is to put these things into a 25-minute or so program. I could do it for an hour and just talk away here. So let's get back into this thing a little bit here. Now, we have just finished talking about the law in some respects. We had looked at Romans chapter 10, where Paul says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. We looked to Romans 6 to see the fact that we are no longer in sin. What say, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? I mean, if we're Christian, if we're a sincere Christian, actually truly saved, not just imitated and fake and pretending, if we're truly saved, then we are no longer in sin. Now, we're not talking about sinning. We're talking about in sin. Sin is still in our body, but we talked in Colossians chapter 2, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, about the spiritual circumcision, as we tend to call it, operation made without hands, made by God, where we're separated from our flesh, so our soul is clean. And we pretty much left it at that. And I thought we'd try to continue that for today, trying to give you a few more things about that. As you read through Paul's writings, especially in Romans, you will recognize then what he's talking about when he is talking about dead in sins, no longer in sin, all those other verses that we talked about. Not to bring them up again because I've only got 30 minutes. So let's just kind of go on here. Maybe this will help you understand it a little bit more. And I do a lot of ands and us. I cut them out, but I'll just leave them in. That's me. That's the way it is, you know. Probably tomorrow I'm going to give a quick rundown in 30 minutes or less. I hope I can do this, of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of the Gospels, and the first 8 chapters of Acts. Just going to kind of review that thing and show you the general picture of the Gospels plus the first 8 chapters of Acts, and then how is it that Paul comes onto the scene? What's going on here? Why is this even necessary? And again, I bring this up as important to me and to you because my observations over the years have been that more and more pastors are preaching out of the Gospels than they are out of Paul. Then you've got those guys that say, yeah, we rightly divide. We talk about Paul once in a while. Yeah, you talk about Paul where you can put a little guilt on some people or something in Timothy and Titus or whatever, but you know, you'll use Paul's Gospel and what you would call Paul's Gospel is just the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that's not what he's talking about. So I'll just give you a visualization of the Gospels up to where Paul pops into the scene in Acts chapter 9. But for today, let's get back to this law thing and the fact that we are no longer in sin. But we choose to follow now the sins that are in our flesh. And Paul, now remember what Paul said about that? Where he said, that which I do I allow not, for what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that do I. Is that you? You betcha that's you. That's me. That was Paul. He says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. But here's the key sentence, and I hope this makes sense to you. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. See, I am clean. Christ has taken my sins, taken me, taken the law out of the picture so there is no sin to be imputed. Does that mean we can do anything we want? No, we might have to talk about that one tomorrow, come to think of it, but we need to deal with that. The people, first thing that people say when you tell them that, oh, so then this is that easy believism stuff. You can just go out there and do what you want now, right? That's God's grace. No, I tell you, there's a massive misconception about what God's grace is, how it came about, and what it really is. And will people respond properly because they love God or just because they love themselves? It's not a ticket to do what you want. There are some, I call them strings attached. But anyway, oh, I tell you, putting this into a 30-minute stuff is really hard for this guy. I could just talk all. I wanted all my years of preaching so I could do a Guinness Book of Records, the world's longest sermon, and just get start at the beginning and go through the whole ball of wax and just get as much as I can in one big, gigantically long sermon. And there it is. That's my next project. Okay, so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's see if now this verse suddenly makes fantastic sense to you as we are looking. King James Bible, you won't find this verse written like this in any other Bible. So here we go. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. I'm not sure I said the correct verse, but 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, see, we are in Christ now. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things will become new? No. All things became new? No. All things are become. Every second is a new second. I have a sermon on my website somewhere in there called Happy New Second. Happy New Year, Happy New Second. Every second, things are passed away. They're not imputed. If they're imputed, it's because it's what God had you do, according to Paul's teachings, Romans chapter 2, verse 16 again. And they will come out in the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not creation, new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Then we jump to Philippians chapter 3. Paul says it again. And I'll tell you what, if we could deal with those two verses in our lives, we would be the happiest people, the most satisfied people. The peace of God would be fantastic in us. We just got to, we say to ourselves, you got to get over something. That's our pride. You know, the Bible does say, only by contention cometh pride. The only reason we contend, we fight with people, or argue, or have a verbal, whatever it is because of pride. Only by pride cometh contention. And think about it. When you have a problem with something, or with somebody, you're just not going to give in. You're right. Well, they're right. They think they're right. It's a pride issue. So, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. See, Paul had room. Paul was not God manifest in the flesh. He was a man. He was just like us. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So we are in Christ, right? Of course, yes. Well, you have to prove that sometime here. Anyway, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Oh, if we could only do that, you know what? If only we could do those verses right there. So that takes me to a series of little references I'd like to read to you this morning and some comments regarding these things. We're going to go to Romans chapter 10 again. So make sure you got your Bible there. Flip your pages over to Romans chapter 10. It's that verse I want you to remember over and over. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Be sure to remember that. It's not the end of the law. It's the end of the law for righteousness. to everyone that believes. The law still exists. Now, what's the purpose of the law? That's another 30-minute sermon. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Then in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, flip, 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 page 2, there you go. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, please note the phrase, who walk not after the flesh. Look down Romans chapter 8. Look down in verse 9. 8, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 8, verse 8. This phrase, in the flesh. Have you ever heard anybody say to you, or have you said to anybody, well, they're doing that in the flesh. They're doing that music in the flesh. You know, rocking and rolling and all that. Well, you can't say that anymore because most Christian music is rocking and rolling. But anyway, the phrase, did that in the flesh. No, if you're a Christian, you are not in the flesh. Colossians 2:16, we've been separated, been cut away. And I'll prove it to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay? Now, look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Okay. Are you convinced scripturally, not by feelings, not by your pastor, not by your denominational teachings, not by your baptism, not by receiving Christ in the Lord's Supper, etc.? None of that stuff. If you are convinced by the Scriptures that you are a Christian, you are saved, you are quickened, which we'll talk about later, then you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God dwell in you, if you are truly a Christian, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And you are no longer in the flesh because you were cut away from the flesh. Is that starting to make sense? That's the goodness of God. He doesn't just check us and say, yeah, you're saved. He makes things happen. What does he make? He makes me free. He doesn't set me free. He makes me free. Okay, so that's fantastic stuff. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, we're not walking after the flesh. We may be following our flesh. We may be following the sin. We may choose to follow our flesh and do what our body has in it to do with all that kind of junky junk. Can't get rid of that. But we ourselves are clean. If we choose to follow that, we are still not in the flesh. We are cut away from that. And that's the stuff that will burn at the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll talk about what that stuff is as time goes on here. Okay, back to Romans chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. For what the law could not do in that it was... Romans 8, verses 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, because that's what we do. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Fantastic. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, because we're still inside our body. Now there's a different reference here. We talk about we're living, we're still inside our body. We're here, but we're separated from it. We're still, there's how that phrase is, makes sense. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, we're going to have to talk about that this week, too. I live by the faith of the Son of God, the faith of Jesus Christ. Modern Bibles change that to faith in Jesus. No, we're talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. Modern Bibles today, any Bible but a King James Bible, takes out the faith of Jesus Christ in that Bible. I would ask for showing of hand, but I can't see you, so I won't. But how many of you have heard about the faith of Jesus Christ? Well, that's how we live. It's his faith that we live by. My faith comes and goes, gets higher, gets lower, good days, bad days, right? But I live by the faith of Jesus Christ, by the faith of the Son of God. It's His faith that sustains me. Now, here are some shuns. Now, I'll see if you see, you just kind of say to yourself if you recognize what these shuns are. Imputation. What is imputation? Redemption. Sanctification. Regeneration. Justification, restoration, consolation, restitution, propitiation, consecration, resurrection, salvation, adoption, edification, admonition. Those are all results of this operation made without hands. Now, with that in mind, and if old things are passed away, all things are become new. If that's true, which it must be, the scriptures say it, if that's true, then doesn't it make sense that there's nothing we can do to blow it? There's nothing we can do to turn away from that salvation? Because if it's a wrong thing to do, it'll bring the judgment seat of Christ. If it's the right thing to do, then fine, we'll be rewarded for it. So how can we do something wrong to blow our salvation? How can we refuse salvation? How can we decide to go against something when it's the faith of Christ that sustains me, not my faith, but His faith? So let's look at a couple of verses here that just helps us know that our salvation is sealed. How many people run to the altar and cry and sob because they think they've blown it again? And they've either lost their salvation or they've lost their fellowship with Christ or whatever. They need to realize that all things are become new. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We were not marked with a seal, NIV. That's a reference to Revelation. There's no way am I going to go along with that. But we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. See, we can still grieve the Spirit of God, though. We'll talk about that someday. Whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Amazing. So how can we lose what He has done for us? It isn't because of what we've done, it's because of what He's done. It isn't because of my faith, it's because of His faith. We read this verse a few minutes ago, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now remember, we're talking about we are no longer in sin. We're not part of our flesh. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so our salvation, the love of God, is in Christ Jesus. Remember I said, it's His faith, not mine. Okay, now, 2 Timothy really nails this thing down for us, chapter 2, verse 13. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. So if we come to a point in our life where we say, you know what, I don't buy this stuff anymore. You just trip up and go away. Remember, salvation isn't because of what you did. So losing salvation can't be something you can do. We have our faith in Christ Jesus. We receive the faith of Christ Jesus. So 2 Timothy 2:13 says He cannot deny Himself. Christ would have to actually deny Himself for us to lose, quote unquote, our salvation. So it can't happen. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. But don't get that verse mixed up with Peter. Peter's talking about the Jews in the books of Peter. This is talking about us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we are dead, but we're alive because of Christ. He gives us the Spirit of God to keep us alive. He gives us his faith to keep us alive. So we're dead. Our soul is clean. We're separated from the flesh. What can we possibly do to blow? I'm not going to say our salvation, because it isn't ours. It's salvation. It's the salvation he has given to me because of his grace. My faith in Christ Jesus gives me the faith of Christ Jesus, Galatians chapter 3. Here we go, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now this is the verse, and I just misquoted. I said Galatians chapter 3. It's not, it's Galatians chapter 2. Here's the verse. I do that. I misreference sometimes, and I just go twinky in the head here. One of those age things, I guess. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then the last verse for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness and to everyone that believeth. Is it starting to make sense just a little bit? Now, let's finish up with a quick little bunny trail away from this thing, although it has a lot to do with what we've been talking about here. You know, people tend to think that I say, well, we'll just ignore the gospel. No, I'm not saying to ignore the gospels. We can learn from the gospels. We need to learn about what Jesus came down to earth and what he did. He had to fulfill the law, and he came down to be the Messiah for the Jews, or to the Jews, actually. So, yes, we need to learn about all that stuff. John, the book of John, we learn about who Jesus really is. And the same thing with the books at the back, Hebrews to Jude to Revelation. We still learn from these things, even though these are written to the Jews. For example, here's an amazing thing I don't think most people know of. Verse chapter 9, this helps explain this thing about the New Testament here. Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Does that make sense? Probably not. This will help it. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So what is that saying? That is saying that the doctrine for the New Testament does not begin until Jesus died. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, up to the end of each one of those books, that's Old Testament doctrine. That's Jesus fulfilling the law without sin. So after Jesus Christ died and rose again, begins the New Testament. And yes, the New Testament begins with Jesus going to Peter to go to the Jews. And when that is done, he goes to Paul. And there's where the New Testament is at, to the Gentiles. Never heard that before, have you? I bet you must have been. Again, keep in mind, my authority, my final conclusion, my final belief rests on a King James Bible. Not a new King James Bible. If you want me to talk about that sometime, there are some serious problems in a new King James Bible. I'm talking about a King James Bible. I will say 1611, although there were some printer errors, da-da-da-da. You've probably heard the story from your pastor, oh, 1611 really isn't a 1611, da-da-da-da. I'll tell you what, I've got to be able to have confidence that my Bible is the Word of God, and it is the words of God. And because of that, and when rightly divided, looking to Paul, I have no doubt that the mouth of God speaks to me through this book. So that's why I talk like I do when I read a verse here, read a verse there, and we talk about this and whatever. These are not my opinions. These are not my personal teachings about Paul. This is what the Bible says. A long time ago, somebody mentioned it, a famous artistic chalk drawing pastor one time said, I don't want to teach what the Bible teaches, I want to teach what the Bible says. Well, I never forgot that. It's really sad to me, though, to see that that person never got a hold of rightly dividing by looking to Paul only. I think he did, but he got caught up in his religion and the power and the success and the money of it all. That's really sad. So, there you go. As I think about this, I think tomorrow, well, you know, I never know what I'm going to do in the next mini-sermon. I'll just wait and see what comes up for tomorrow, but there are some things I want to tackle and take on and show you some marvelous things. Let's spend a couple minutes here and let's sing along with a couple songs, a couple hymns, and then I will see you tomorrow morning. Why do I say I will see you? I will talk with you tomorrow morning.